So this week we've been asking you to give us your big ideas on how to fix the economy, and you have brought them in spades.
My idea to make money?
That would create a tremendous number of jobs.
What would be best is
getting credit to small businesses.
Abolish the IRS and put in a flat tax system.
Tax and regulate of cannabis.
Lower corporate tax rates so we can bring the jobs back here.
No advertising on paper money.
Converting to the metric system.
To save the economy, let's get rid of the unions.
Integrate Medicare and Medicaid.
We need to build up our infrastructure.
Make hover cars.
And you'll have a balanced budget within a couple of months.
We got more than, quite a bit more than 200 ideas.
I want a hover car.
I would like a hover car also. I thought, you know, when as a kid watching Star Wars, I figured we'd have one by now. But that's beside the point. We've actually crunched the number on the numbers on many of your responses. There are some very interesting ones. But the number one most often suggested idea was to reform the tax code in one way or another. One out of six of you wanted to change the way we do our taxes. In at a very close second, cutting military spending, and then tied for third place, legalizing marijuana and investing in green energy. We actually covered all three.
Thank you, listeners.
We covered all three of those on the show. You can listen back to those conversations at thetakeaway.org. And here to talk about some of the others, we've got Louise Story with us, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Good morning, Louise.
Good morning.
First of all, were you surprised at the number of people who wrote in?
Oh, there were so many people that wrote in, but it didn't surprise me because people really want answers. And this recession, which may be starting again, another recession has gone on so long that people are just hungry for solutions and for, you know, better times. So I was not surprised by the number, but the variety was very interesting.
Well, you picked out the three that you thought were among the most interesting. So let's go through them one by one. Let's start with this one from Megan in Detroit. What did she suggest?
So Megan in Detroit suggested a transaction tax where, you know, it would depend what sort of transactions you put on there. But a lot of people are talking about stock transactions. That's what she talked about. And so every time there was a stock trade, for instance, you could charge a tenth of a percent. And that money would go to the government to help fill the deficit or to, you know, spend, you know, extend unemployment benefits or to use it for other purposes. And so This is one that was interesting because it's actually been debated by governments around the world for the last few years. Last summer, in the summer of 2010, Europe was pushing for a global transaction tax. U.S. officials were very against it. And people at the New York Stock Exchange and different places came out against it, warning that though it may be popular because it sounds like it's just for Wall Street, it would affect regular people because, of course, pension funds and mutual funds do trade stocks. And so it would come out of their returns on those. You know, it's currently being debated right now in Europe again because France and Germany are pushing for it. My takeaway on it was, look, it can raise some money, but the estimate, if you did it globally, we're talking about a couple $100 billion. And, you know, the deficit in the U.S. is like $1 trillion. So my takeaway was it's not going to solve all our problems, but it could be a step forward.
All right. So let's talk about this one from Amber in Chapel Hill, who I guess wants to wipe out student loan debt.
She does. And this one was very interesting to me because student loan debt, you may feel like this is this big problem we've always had, but it's a way bigger problem now than it was just at the end of the 1990s. You know, back then, there was like only about $90 billion outstanding of student debt. We're up to $600 billion now. It has grown fivefold. And some people are even saying it's a bubble. And if you think about the housing bubble, for instance, it didn't multiply that quickly. It went threefold in the housing bubble. And so the problem with the student debt is that people go to school, they get an education to have a better life, to go out and get better jobs. But then they have no money to spend in the economy or much less money with all this debt. And so this amount of debt really could be holding back the economy right now because people are making these student loan payments. In fact, there's more outstanding student debt than credit card debt now. We passed that barrier a year ago.
All right. So the last one, and then we have to be just going through these quickly.
And just one thing on student debt, though. I would just say that there are investors who own it, and that could be pension investors, too. So the question would be, who would take the losses? So could the government take – who would take the losses?
All right. So possibly that could help, though. All right. Listener in New York wrote in and said, why don't we go to the four-day work week like places like Germany have gone to?
Well, so for them, I would point to Utah, which had an experiment. They are ending it starting this September. But for the last few years, they went to a four-day work week to save money. The idea was working 10-hour days, but over 4 days. But what they found is they did not save nearly as much as they had hoped. They hoped they would save $3 million a year. They only saved $1 million a year. It turns out there are a lot of unintended consequences sometimes when you change the hours worked.
And they've got some GDP problems. You know who Lord Conrad Black is?
Right.
Yeah, the media press lord. We talked with him yesterday, and I want you to listen to this thing that he had to say about Warren Buffett and all the rich people that want to get taxed.
And he's one of them,
right? He's one of them. Yeah, listen.
I think it's just grandstanding. I mean, in the first place, I mean, I have great admiration for Warren, but if he actually said what he really thinks, people would pay attention. It might make a difference because the public sector leadership is so weak right now. A man of his talents has a great role to play. But the fact is the largest part of his income is equity income from Berkshire Hathaway. And if you take that in, he pays about 45%. If he really feels that way about it, you should have a wealth tax and have it a fluctuating rate. But if you get into that, you're attacking the ethos of American capitalism, and you're opening the door to politicians lacking in courage, taking an easy way out. The fact is, if you did everything Warren said, you would reduce the deficit by 0.33%. It's just tokenism, and I think it's just posturing. But I'm not anti-Warren Buffett.
Smart PR, but bad economics.
He's taking a preemptive strike to get the left-wing politicians off his back. Looks like him going around to the campuses in his Viola shirt and his corduroy trousers saying, I'm not really interested in money. You know, I live in a little house in Omaha and I'm giving it all away to charity anyway. I mean, I've had some dealings with Warren. He's not Santa Claus, believe me.
And, you know, give me $40 billion and I'll live in a little house in Omaha, I guess, right? It's easy to be wise and sage. $40 billion.
I'm not saying it was easy for him to make the money he did.
No. Yeah. But it's easy to have the positions.
Yeah, he deserves credit, I suppose, for striking a new model. I mean, in my piece last night, I said, well, the tenor of the remark I'm about to mention was somewhat inegalitarian and a little untimely. J.P. Morgan saying the public be damned at least has a ring of sincerity to it.
Lord Conrad Black talking about his piece on the National Review website. Boy, wealth tax. He calls it as he sees it, wouldn't you say?
Attack on the American ego.
Or ethos.
Ethos.
Yeah. Thanks so much. We'll be talking more with Lord Conrad Black, and thanks to Louise Story.
Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.